It's time for this week's edition of the Virtual Bible Study. The Virtual Bible Study is a live, internet-only call-in program dedicated to the honest study and discussion of God's Word. Do you have a question about something in the Bible, or are you simply interested in learning more about the Scriptures? If so, we hope you'll stay tuned tonight as we look into the pages of God's Word. The Virtual Bible Study is brought to you this time each week by the College View Church of Christ in Columbia, Tennessee. You can participate in the discussion tonight by calling 931-381-4567 or by emailing your questions or comments from collegeview.com. We hope you'll take out your Bibles and study along with us as we begin an exciting study of God's Word on this edition of the Virtual Bible Study.
And welcome into the Virtual Bible Study tonight. We're glad that you're here. This is another edition of the Virtual Bible Study. We're live and we're ready to go. We're glad that you're here. My name is Jacob Gwynn. I'm joined by my father, Greg Gwynn. Hello, Dad.
Jacob, it's good to be with you tonight. Glad that we have a chance to study the Bible on this Thursday night. It's kind of a chilly, wintry Thursday night here in Columbia, Tennessee, but it's good to be able to get together with a lot of folks over the internet and study the Bible for a while.
Well, we're looking forward to the discussion. We hope you'll stay tuned. An interesting discussion tonight, Dad. Looking forward to the discussion. We're just going to talk about Christmas tonight and ask the question, what about Christmas? Is it a celebration that we should engage in? Is it something that is wrong, or should we engage in the celebration of Christmas? And what are some of the problems that are associated with Christmas? You know, Dad, it is a time of great celebration, but I think it is a time that we should use caution with about as Christians, and we want to talk about that on the program tonight.
Well, it's certainly a timely subject. In fact, Jacob, you know, as we sort of plan ahead about what kind of themes we want to discuss on the Virtual Bible Study, it seemed like it'd be almost impossible not to choose this topic for this night. And so we want to talk about it. I think, you know, I've gotten some email feedback from some folks today who knew from some email announcements and so forth that we had sent out that this was going to be the topic. I've already got some feedback. So it's a subject of great interest. I could say that for sure.
And we might say this, we disagree with some of the emails you've gotten. And so there's going to be a lot of give and take, hopefully, on the program tonight. We're looking forward to that.
Yeah, we want people to participate, and we want people to give their point of view, their input. You don't have to agree with us. You know, that's one of the things that we want to stress about the Virtual Bible Study at any time. You don't have to agree with us. If you've got a different point of view, we want to hear it. We want to look to the Scriptures and see what the truth is. You know, we're not representing ourselves as final authorities on any subject. You might disagree with us about anything, but we do believe that the Bible is the final authority, and that if we look there, we can get the good answers to all our questions.
We're not perfect. We don't claim to be perfect. We don't claim to have a monopoly on the truth. That's the benefit of studying in a group like this, a group that we have assembled on the internet, is we can get together, we can compare what we believe about the Bible and compare that with what other people believe to determine what is actually the truth.
That's right. And, you know, I hope that everybody has that openness, you know, to study, to consider, to give consideration to maybe even different points of view. We want to find out what the Bible says, and we want to be open to it, even if it's not what we previously believed.
We want you to share your point of view on the program tonight. You can do that by giving us a call at 931-381-4567, 931-381-4567, or email us your questions or comments to questions@collegeview.com. Questions@collegeview.com is the email address to use. 931-381-4567 is the telephone number. We're looking forward to hearing from you on the program tonight. Well, Dad, Christmas is a celebration that we don't read about in the Bible, but we do read quite a bit about it in history, and the history of the celebration of Christmas is very interesting.
Yeah, there's a lot of information, and I know probably a lot of the people who are listening to us tonight have lots of documentation on the fact that Christmas, obviously, the religious observance of Christmas is not something you read about in the New Testament. I have a quote here from one authority who says, Christmas was not among the earliest festivals of the Christians. Efforts to fix a date for the birth of Christ began some two centuries after his death, as the Catholic Church began to establish its traditions. Christmas is now celebrated on December 25th in Catholic, Protestant, and most Orthodox churches. But the point of that is that you can't read the date December 25th in your New Testament, and you can't read about an organized specific celebration of the Christmas holiday in your New Testament. It's simply a thing that was originated in the mind of men, and the organized practice of the December 25th celebration is therefore not found in the Bible.
It is not found in the Bible. Does that mean it shouldn't be avoided? What are your thoughts? 931-381-4567 or questions at collegeview.com. We're looking forward to hearing from you.
You know, it seems, Jacob, that the choice of December 25th to be the day that the birth of Christ is celebrated, most historical experts will almost unanimously agree that December 25th was chosen because in the early years, the Catholic Church was bringing in to its number a number of people from pagan religions, and many pagan religions had a winter idolatrous celebration of some sort or another, many times associated with the worship of the sun. And you can almost see how this developed. You know, this time of year, the sun has sunk far into the southern hemisphere, and pagans in the northern hemisphere who believed that the sun somehow represented some god would think that maybe this god of the sun had grown angry with them and was leaving, departing. So by having a big midwinter celebration, they invited him to come back, and he did. And so they, you almost see how in their superstitious minds, that sort of a celebration, worshiping the sun at that time of year, came into existence. Well, the Catholics were dealing with these pagans who had come into their number, and this was so entrenched in their practice that the Catholics, instead of ridding that practice, actually sort of transferred it. And so instead of worshiping the sun in the middle of the winter, let's have a celebration of the birth of Christ in the mid of winter, and we'll sort of transfer the attention of these converted pagans from one thing to another. And that seems to be the logic behind the choice of that day. Most authorities will agree that Jesus almost certainly was not born on December 25th. Albert Barnes says it is probable that our Savior was born before the 25th of December, or before what we call Christmas. At that time, it is cold, and especially in the high and mountainous regions about Bethlehem, but the exact time of his birth is unknown. There is no way to ascertain it. By different learned men, it has been fixed at each month in the year. Nor is it of consequence to know the time. If it were, God would have presented the record of it. Matters of moment are clearly revealed. Those which he regards as no importance are concealed. And I think he's right. The Lord has chosen not to tell us the day.
We would disagree with Albert Barnes again on a lot of different subjects, but it is interesting that he notes there, Dad, that he can't find anywhere in the Bible where the Christmas is mentioned, where the December 25th is mentioned. And so that's an interesting observation.
You know, in Luke chapter 2, verse 8, on the day that Jesus was born, it says there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Bible commentators have for a long time noted that indicates that this would have been in a warmer month of the year. For the shepherds to be out in the field at night with their flocks would be a practice of the shepherds in that region at a warmer time of the year. In December, their climate there, much like ours here, is too cold to be out at night with your flocks, and they would have been brought into the fold. And so that single reference almost surely indicates that Jesus was not born in the middle of the winter, was not born on December 25th.
But again, we don't know, Dad, and so we can't say definitively that he wasn't. The indications are that it was not December 25th, but the fact of the matter remains, we have no idea. It could have been any day of the year as far as we can tell from the Bible.
That's right. The fact of the matter is it's just not revealed to us. God's chosen not to reveal it. Now, There's a principle involved there. If it was something God wanted us to observe in an organized fashion and with a authorized method, then he would have revealed that to us. He would have told us the day and the time. He would have told us the manner and the method. And none of that's revealed in the scriptures. And therefore, that's what we're saying, that if someone is going to prescribe a religious observance of Christmas and say, that's what we got to do now. Every December 25th, we got to do it, and we got to do it this way. Then they're doing that. They're making that requirement without biblical authority.
So what you're saying is it is not a biblical command that we must celebrate Christmas on December 25th or celebrate the birth of Christ at all. There is no command in the Bible to do so, Dad. And therefore, if we were to command that of others, we would be imposing a tradition of men as a doctrine that we must follow.
That's right. If I was to legislate and say, this is a requirement, you must do it, it's expected of you, and you're something less than a faithful Christian if you don't do it, then I would be setting a rule and establishing a law that I can't justify by the scriptures. 1 Peter 4, verse 11 says, if any man speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. And for me to say that there's a required observance of the birth of Jesus at any time of the year, December 25th or any other time of the year, and that that's mandated and required and observed in an organized fashion, then I have added to the word of God.
That's a violation of Matthew chapter 15, verse 9, where we read, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Dad, we've got to be careful about that. And I think there are a lot of people in the religious world, though, today who are teaching that this is something that must be celebrated, and that failure to celebrate the birth of Christ on December 25th would be a violation of God's will. We just do not see that in the New Testament, Dad, and to command that would be an addition to what the Bible says.
Jacob, we can start out with a part of an email. I want to reserve part of this email to a little later in our discussion, but Jack down in Covington, Georgia, has written in, and he says, that he speaks about the religious aspect of the celebration. He also talks about the secular aspect of the celebration. We want to talk about the secular part later, but he mentions that this event has its roots in pagan worship, also in Catholicism and denominationalism. And if it were a celebration that we could find in the scriptures, we should grab onto it. And I think Jack's exactly right. If this was something that the Bible said to do, and that we were obligated to do it, we would be for it 100%. Colossians 3:17 says, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if we had the authority for an organized and well-established observance of the birth of Jesus, we would be all for it. But it's just simply not there. And, you know, that observation is without contradiction. Nobody can successfully argue the fact that the Bible teaches that that on what day Jesus was born and in what manner that ought to be observed. It just simply is not in the New Testament.
So what we have said, then, there is no command to observe the celebration of Christmas on December 25th or any day of the year. But what about it, Dad? Is it wrong to celebrate it in a secular manner, or is it wrong to personally celebrate it with a religious significance? We have those questions still to answer on the program tonight, and we're looking forward to our listeners' comments. 931-381-4567 or questions at collegeview.com. 931-381-4567 or questions at collegeview.com. What do you think about the celebration of Christmas?
Jacob, we want to get a lot of input from our listeners, and it looks like we've got a lot of people logged on, a lot of participation, and we want to get your input to this question. But one thing I do want to encourage our listeners to do, don't wait till the very last minutes of the program to send in your email. In recent weeks, we've had several episodes where people emailed in the last minutes of the program, and we didn't get the email until after the program was already off the air. We've come to expect email to be just split second instantaneous, and sometimes it's not that. Maybe when there's a lot of traffic on the internet or something else, it takes a little longer for messages to get through there. But so don't wait till the last 3, 4, 5 minutes. If you can, if you've got an observation, if you've got something you want to say, send us that email at questions@collegeview.com. Or better yet, pick up the phone and give us a call. If you don't have your telephone line tied up with your internet connection, pick up the phone and call us, 931-381-4567. We'll get you right on the air.
That's right. We're looking forward to hearing from you on the program tonight. Now, let's go ahead and take our first break, and then when we get back, we can get on into the discussion. We want to hear from you tonight. Do you think that the celebration of Christmas is authorized? Do you think it is something that is sinful to celebrate this Christmas on December 25th? We're looking forward to hearing from you on the program tonight. The number to call is 931-381-4567. 931-381-4567, or send us your emails to questions@collegeview.com. That's questions@collegeview.com. We hope you'll stay with us. We'll be right back after this.
Don't touch that mouse. The virtual Bible study will be back right after this.
Hello, everyone. I'm Wade Shelton, a member of the College View Church of Christ. If you're like me, you've probably heard a lot of rumors about what the Church of Christ is all about. Regardless of what the rumors you may have heard, let me just quickly tell you what we are about. The College View Church of Christ is simply a group of Christians that is committed to doing everything that God has commanded us in exactly the way that He commanded us to do it. So we just simply open our Bibles and study them to determine what God has commanded us to do, and then we try to do it. It's just really that simple. Are you interested in being part of a group of people who have this approach to serving God? If so, I hope you will join me and my family as we worship God with the College View Church of Christ this Sunday at 9:30 a.m.
Hi, my name is Troy Smith. I'm 12 years old and I love to listen to the virtual Bible study.
Use your internet connection for something good. Listen to the virtual Bible study every week. Now, back to the program.
And welcome back to the program tonight. We're glad that you're here. We hope you'll stay tuned. We're talking about Christmas. What about Christmas on the program tonight? Do you believe it is something that is wrong to celebrate? We want to hear your thoughts. 931-381-4567. Or email us your questions or comments to questions@collegeview.com. Joining us on the program tonight a little bit late, but here in the studio with us is Josh Overton. Josh has been on the program before. Josh, welcome back.
Appreciate the opportunity.
We're glad that you're here. We're looking forward to discussing with you and all of our listeners on the program tonight. Well, Dad, you know, as we talk about whether or not we should celebrate Christmas, there are a lot of problems associated with Christmas, a lot of temptations that people need to be on guard with around the Christmas holiday.
Yeah, let's just start out by talking about some of the things that are wrong with what's going on this time of year. One of them is introduced by a statement in the email. I mentioned earlier that Jack down in Covington, Georgia. Jack, we're glad you're listening to the virtual Bible study. He made an observation I think is right on. He says, what right do we as children of God have in telling our children lies about Santa Claus and all his entourage? And, you know, I think that is one of the problems with the way this is done, Jacob, is that there's a lot first of all, the deceiving our kids about Santa Claus, maybe telling lies about presents and who got them and where they came from and what they are. And there's just a lot of that going on, Jacob.
There are a lot of that, and a lot of people who call themselves Christians, Dad, are lying to their children, telling them that Santa Claus will bring them presents later on Christmas Eve. They need to go to bed so that Santa can bring them their presents. He's going to slide down the Christmas tree. And we'll leave out some cookies.
Slide down the Christmas tree.
slide down the chimney.
You really got the story crossed
up. Well, he might slide down the Christmas tree if he misses the chimney, I guess. But they're going to leave out cookie and milk, Dad. There's even these little bags of reindeer treat. I've seen Christians with this. They throw it out in the yard. They tell the kids, throw it out in the yard so the reindeer have something to eat on while Santa Claus is sliding down your Christmas tree.
Yeah.
And but, you know, the Bible's very clear, Dad, that we can't be involved in those type of misleading things.
I really can't see any good that comes of that. I think a lot of people become enamored with those kind of myths and fables. I don't see any good that comes of it. And really, in the face of a very plain statement like Ephesians 4:25, wherefore put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we're members one of another. That's a pretty straightforward story or a statement. And that story about Santa Claus doesn't adhere to that.
But, you know, Dad, if you tell someone that, then you're not going to be their friend, because a lot of people love the cute little story that they tell their kids and how their kids react to the fact that Santa Claus is bringing them presents. You know, a lot of Christians try and justify lying to their children about Santa Claus, and we just can't see that that's anything that's acceptable to God.
Well, where are you going to draw the line? I suppose if we're going to lie about Santa Claus, we'll lie about the Easter Bunny and about the Tooth Fairy, but where would we draw the line in telling make-believe stories to our kids as though they were the truth? I just think that's something that parents need to consider carefully. But that's not the only problem we've got associated with the way this Christmas holiday is observed. One thing that's very clear is the extreme materialism that's associated with this celebration, Jacob.
That's right. There is extreme materialism, Dad. I work near a very large shopping area up in Nashville and near a mall. And let me tell you, it's incredibly hectic up there just trying to get to work with all of the crowds of people. And they're out there trying to get more stuff. They got to have more stuff to put under the Christmas tree, Dad. And a lot of kids, their life revolves on what they're going to get on Christmas. And a lot of big kids, their life revolves around that present that they're going to get. And we've got to be careful about materialism.
Talking about how much people are trying to buy, I was listening to Dave Ramsey today when I was working. And he had a thing about how much you spent for your family on Christmas. And I remember one thing that came to mind. There was one fellow that emailed in and said he had spent $1,200 on his family. And I take it from the way he was talking in his email, he didn't really have that big of a family, but that just shows you how much people put into this, you know, day that we celebrate. This fellow spent $1,200.
You know, it's not, gift giving is not wrong. It's not wrong to give gifts at any time of the year. You know, Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. It's a good thing to give gifts and be generous and kind and all of that. We're not knocking the idea that it's a good thing to be generous in giving things to others. But what we are saying is the way that this celebration goes is that it obviously is crossed over and has become a center of materialism in people's mind. And materialism is a thing that the Bible frequently warns us about. Jesus said in Luke 12, verse 15, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth." And so materialism is a huge problem. We live in the most prosperous time and the most prosperous place in the history of the world. And we've got to, as people who are concerned about what God wants, we've got to be concerned about materialism.
We've got to be concerned about it, Dad, and it's very easy to be overwhelmed by the materialistic attitude that's so prevalent. You know, Christmas time advertisements are everywhere where we read about the things that we need to give our loved ones. Imagine the look on their face when you give them this. Imagine how happy this item will make them. True happiness does not come from material possessions, Dad. We need to understand that.
Yeah. And I want to let me add one more factor, one more complicator here, Jacob. And that's the idea of people getting so busy with the celebration of this day that they actually forsake religious duty. You know, this is the real curiosity of it. It's considered by many people to be a religious holiday. What it does, in fact, is cause people to forsake religious pursuit. I got an email here from Skip up in Indiana. Skip, we're glad that you're with us for the virtual Bible study. He says, "I have been teaching home studies for over 30 years, and without question, the time between Thanksgiving and Christmas is the worst time of year to get people interested in Bible study. Everyone is too busy because of the holidays. People are so busy preparing for Christmas, they feel they don't have time to study His Word." And then he says, "We hear of churches choosing to cancel their Sunday services because of Christmas." That's been in the news quite a bit, Jacob, just recently.
That's amazing, because churches who place a significance on the religious significance on the celebration of Christmas are canceling their services on Sunday. Seems very ironic that someone who thinks that there's a religious significance to Christmas would cancel services where we're commanded to assemble on the first day of the week, yet many religious organizations are canceling their services. Shows us what's most important in our lives when we're putting our family and our personal pursuits in front of what God has commanded.
I think that's exactly right. And so what we're saying is there's just a lot of complications that go along with this religious observance of Christmas. And as people of God, we've got to be thinking about it. We've got an email here from Preston. Preston's one of our regular listeners down in South Georgia. Preston, we're glad you're listening tonight. He references 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. He says that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written. And then he has this comment: using Bible authority, we look into the Bible, and no place are we told to celebrate His birth. And if it was in the Bible, God would tell us how He would want us to celebrate it or observe it. God tells us to remember His death. And I think that's a good point. The mandated observance, that is mandated by God, legislated by Him in His law, is the first day of the week, observance of His death as we partake the Lord's Supper. And that's what we've got to do.
We've got to command that every first
day. There's a command. There's authority for that. And we can go to the Bible. Somebody says, "Why are you doing that? And why are you doing it that way?" We can take them to the Bible. We can show them why.
And if somebody says, "I'm not going to observe the death of Christ to remember that and commemorate that," we would say, "You're wrong, because there's a command where you must do that."
Exactly right. And so that's the difference between this Christmas observance, for instance, and the Lord's Supper that we partake of every first day of the week.
Lord's Supper is not optional, but what about Christmas? Do we have an option to celebrate it? Is it something that is acceptable to celebrate? We want to hear from you on the program tonight. 931-381-4567, or send us your questions or comments to questions@collegeview.com. Do you think that we have an option to celebrate Christmas? Do you think it's something that is acceptable to celebrate Christmas? 931-381-4567 or questions@collegeview.com. We've also mentioned, Dad, some of the problems we see associated with the Christmas holiday. Maybe some of our friends listening tonight have some other problems that they have observed around this time.
Yeah, we'd be glad to hear from you. And like I said earlier, don't wait till the last minute to get your emails sent off. If you're going to send us an email, be sure and try and get that to us before the very last few minutes of the program. Let's start in a direction that I know a lot of listeners probably wanting to get into, and again, we want your participation. But in that same email from Skip up in Indiana, Skip says, he quotes from a liberal religious publication, and this quote says this. He says, "The church focuses on moms on Mother's Day. It focuses on Christ's resurrection on Easter, taking advantage of the calendar to reach the culture." He says, I've long considered that it's not unscriptural to read Luke 2 in December. He says, if we don't do these things, it just makes us look quirky, not faithful. Now, I think here's probably, from this liberal religious publication, this is probably an indication of the extent that some people go. In other words, they're gonna observe all kinds of man-made days, not exclusively Christmas. They're gonna observe Mother's Day in religious fashion. They're gonna have a special day to remember Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection on Easter, whereas we believe that the New Testament teaches this is a thing. We should observe his death every first day of the week in the Lord's Supper. Obviously, many denominations have a special day set aside that they call Easter. And then the religious observance in December of his birth. All of those things, when done in an organized, specified fashion, that's the doctrines and commandments of men. Those things are not found in the Word of God. You already read Jacob in Matthew 15, verse 9, that when we observe the doctrines and commandments of men, it renders our worship vain.
That's right. When we bind the doctrines of commandments of men as doctrine, then we have made our worship in vain. We want to hear your comments. Appreciate your comments, Skip. We want to hear yours. 931-381-4567 or questions at collegeview.com. We're looking forward to some listener participation on the program tonight. What do you think about the celebration of Christmas? Is it something that we can celebrate? Dad, we still have the question in front of us. We've said that it is not something that is commanded, and therefore to command and demand that people celebrate Christmas would be a violation of God's will, but do we have the option as Christians to celebrate it religiously on a personal level, and do we have the option of celebrating it on a purely secular level? There's a lot of differing opinions on that, I'm sure, in our listening audience tonight. We want to hear our listeners' comments. 931-381-4567 or questions at collegeview.com.
I picked up some quotes from a fellow down in Georgia in a church bulletin, and let me start us with that discussion this way. I know we're near a break, Jacob, but let's start this. He says, to what extent may Christians participate in Christmas festivities? Is it right or wrong to observe Christmas? And what should be our attitude toward those whose convictions and actions differ from ours in this matter? He says, first of all, he says, what about taking a day off work? He says, is it wrong for an employer to give his employees a day off for the pursuit of pleasure and or enjoyment? And if the federal, state, or local government fixes a day on which ordinary business is suspended in honor of a famous person or event, it is not wrong for Christians to take advantage of such, as long as no ungodliness or unauthorized religious activity is connected thereto. Now, what he's saying there is, if your job gives you the day off on December 25th, is it wrong for you to take the day off? In other words, are you going to tell your boss, hey, listen, I'm coming on December 25th. I don't care whether the office is open or the plant is open or not. I'm going to be there. No, we all take the day off. If we're given the day off, we take the day off. That doesn't mean that we're making a religious observance of Christmas. It doesn't mean that we're doing anything unauthorized. And so I think that observation is a fair one. He goes on to say, make Christians follow family traditions. Yes, provided their tradition do not violate God's law. But to incorporate family traditions into the local church assemblies would be the equivalent of instituting religious activity. What if your family has their tradition on any day, but say it is December 25th, that you usually get together as a family and have a big meal? Is there anything wrong with that per se? Anything wrong with a family getting together and having a big meal? No. But if you begin to incorporate that into some organized religious observance, you'd be crossing the line. He says, may Christians read and or contemplate the biblical account of Jesus' birth on or around December 25th. Well, he says, this they may do any time. You know, you could read the accounts of Jesus' birth any time of the year. You could read them on December 25th if you wanted to. However, he says, one should not be critical of those who do not do so. Such criticism is specifically condemned in God's Word, Romans 14, 1 through 6 and 10 through 13. May Christians exchange gifts on or about December 25th. He says this, and they may do any time. It is more blessed to give than receive, Acts 20, verse 35. Then he says, may Christians perpetuate the myth of Santa Claus. He says it's wrong to perpetuate myths and fables as facts at any time. So he is showing that there's things that a person might choose to do But if you begin to incorporate them into an organized religious observance of a day, then you cross the line.
That was written by Bob Mahan. Do you agree with what Mr. Mahan has said? Do you agree with his conclusions, or do you disagree with his conclusions? Dad, looks like we have an email there that disagrees with his conclusion. Want to get to that when we get back from the break. What do you think about the celebration of Christmas? Is it something that we have the liberty to celebrate religiously? Is it something we have the liberty to celebrate secularly? Or is it something that should be avoided altogether? Why not give us a call right now and let us know your thoughts, 931-381-4567, or send us questions at collegeview.com. Stay with us. There's more to go right after this.
Did you hear what they just said? Call in during this break and let everyone know what you think. The virtual Bible study continues after this announcement.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jacob Gwynn with something for you to think about. The Institute of Medicine, under the direction of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, recently released results of a study on the effects of marketing food to young people. The results of the study, they say, show that advertising in the media can negatively influence children to eat in ways that are unhealthy. They are alarmed at the number of advertisements that promote unhealthy foods to young people and fear that these ads will cause the children that they target to make poor choices in the foods that they eat. As a result of their study, they conclude, quote, there is strong evidence that marketing of foods and beverages to children influences their preferences, requests, purchases, and diets. Consider what this study has revealed. Television advertisers have figured out what has been perplexing mothers for centuries. Television advertisers know how to make kids eat exactly what they want them to eat, while mothers struggle with this every night at the dinner table. Isn't that amazing? The media may be more successful at influencing children than parents. Furthermore, this study has made another revelation, and it's much more frightening than the fact that children might eat something they shouldn't if they see it on television. The results of this study show us that television and the media can play a huge role in encouraging behaviors in young people. When we couple this with the incredible amount of immorality in the media today, we can conclude that the influence of the media on children has dire moral consequences as well. Not only are the television producers and advertisers telling children how to eat, they are also telling children how to act. Television and the media are working very hard to influence young people to be immoral in all kinds of ways. And remember what this study has shown, television and the media may be more successful at influencing children than parents. This truly is frightening. So what should parents do as a result of these findings? Parents who want their children to eat healthy are certainly going to have to be careful about the kind of advertisements that their children view. And parents who want their children to eat healthy will be talking to them on a regular basis about making the right choices about what they eat. So it is, too, with parents who want their children to live righteous lives. Parents who want to raise godly children will be careful about the television that they allow their children to view and will talk to them on a regular basis about making the right decisions according to the Word of God. That's what Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 says, where we read, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Parents have a God-given responsibility to train their children to make the right decisions in spite of the influences of the world that we live in, including the influences of the media. The recent study that shows that children are influenced to eat certain foods based upon the media should be alarming to us all. Not only does the media have the ability to influence young people's diet, but it also has the ability to influence their morality. Parents must be careful to protect their children from the evil influences of the wicked world in which we live. That's what the Bible says. Think about it.
Quit checking your email. The commercials are over and the virtual Bible study is ready to roll. Take it away, guys.
And welcome back. We're glad that you're here. We're going to go top of the hour talking about Christmas, and we want to hear your comments. 931-381-4567 or send us questions to questions@collegeview.com. We're looking forward to hearing your comments or questions on the program tonight. Again, 931-381-4567 or questions@collegeview.com. Quickly, guys, before we go any farther, to summarize what we've concluded from the Bible, we have concluded that there is no reference to Christmas anywhere in the New Testament, and we have not been commanded to observe it. Therefore, to command or to implement any type of organized religious observance of the celebration of Christ's birth on December 25th or any other day of the year is a violation of God's will because he has not commanded it. And therefore, if we were to command such a celebration, we would be teaching for doctrines the commandments of men, and this has been specifically forbidden in Matthew chapter 15, verse 9, and other places in the New Testament. But we have to ask the question, is it permissible for an individual to celebrate the holiday on a personal level with some religious significance or void of religious significance on a purely secular level? Before the break, we read an article by Bob Mahan, and he concluded that the things that are done on the Christmas holiday are things that are permissible any time of the year, And therefore, on a personal level, one could do these things on December 25th or any other day of the year. Do you agree with that conclusion, or do you disagree with it? We want to hear from you on the program tonight.
Well, we've got some emails in which there's disagreement with that conclusion. Okay, so what we're saying is there's two sides to that story. Here's Jack again from Covington, Georgia, and I want to read another part of his email. I read earlier part of it, and here's another part. He says, how can devout children of God celebrate an event that has its roots in pagan worship? And then he goes on to say, I know that this Christmas celebration is detrimental to me and others who wish to live righteously. So Jack is of the opinion that it should not be done. And then we've got another email, and I want to tie this one with what Jack was saying, from Jason in Oklahoma. He says, I don't believe that Romans 14:5 should be used to allow Christmas as a holy day. Romans 14:5 says, one person esteems one day above another, another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He said, it would seem that maybe the Jews were carrying over some of the feasts and other days that they were commanded to practice during the Mosaic covenant. Although they wouldn't have been allowed to bind these days on Gentile Christians, the Jews would have been able to participate in these days for conscience sake. For example, God commanded them to keep the Passover. Since God commanded the Passover for the Jews, they still kept it for conscience sake. The reason Romans 14:5 can't be used for Christmas is that Christmas was never commanded by God, unlike Passover. Christmas is pagan from its origin. Christmas is from man and not God. Since I'm not a Catholic or pagan, I do not celebrate Christmas, and no Christian should. That was his conclusion. Now, he brings to the forefront here a passage that surely has a lot of impact on this discussion, Jacob. Romans 14, verses 5 and 6.
We have a phone call. Let's go ahead and put those comments on hold. We want to get to Burnell down in Louisiana. Let's see here if we can get her. Burnell down in Louisiana joins us on the phone now. Hello, Burnell. Welcome to the program.
Well, somebody from Oklahoma just answered my question.
Okay.
On Romans 14:5.
Well, do you agree with that conclusion?
Oh, yes, sir.
You do agree with that conclusion?
I do.
All right. Well, Burnell, if you would hold the line just a minute, let's talk about that, Dad. We can go ahead and bring Burnell into the discussion. You were going to make some comments about Romans 14. Jason's email there in Oklahoma says that he doesn't believe Romans 14 is pertinent and applicable to Christmas because of certain situations which the Jews found themselves in. Dad, I don't know that we can limit Romans 14 to just being applicable to the Jews, though, because the instructions there aren't necessarily relating to what God has commanded there.
Well, wait a minute. I don't believe it has anything to do with Christmas there.
Okay. All right. Well, obviously it wouldn't because Christmas wasn't even in the world when this was written. Romans 14 was written at a time prior to Christmas. But would it apply, Burnell, would it apply to a day like Christmas? Would it apply to maybe any other day? Would it apply to November 10th if someone wanted to remember Christ's birth on November 10th?
Well, you got me on the spot.
don't want to put you on the spot.
Yeah, well.
Well, Dad, Burnell,
if
just tell.
If I wanted to set a day aside to worship the Lord extra, I think I could do it. In other words, put my own conscience.
I would agree with you, Burnell. I think that's what Romans 14 would be talking about, don't you? That we could set aside a day to do something on a religious basis that would be maybe it's just a personal conviction that we might have.
Right, yeah.
Burnell, your conclusion is...
I didn't know why he threw these days in with this idolatry meeting, you know, like that. It all ties in there together as far as the meat offered to idols and things that the man eateth.
Well, Burnell, then, as your conclusion is that we should not have any kind of...
I couldn't figure out what the days there was other than...
Is your conclusion that we should not have any kind of even a private or a secular non-religious... observance of December 25th, is that your conclusion? Oh, we may have lost him, Jacob.
Are you there, Burnell?
I'm still here.
Okay, yeah, real quickly then, just summarize your position on the discussion tonight. Do you think it is wrong to have any type of celebration of Christmas on a personal religious level or even on a personal secular level, no religious connotation at all?
No, I wouldn't tie Christmas in with nothing.
Okay.
Because like you've been talking on that,
uh-huh.
We have no scripture on his birth.
Okay.
I mean, on a special day.
Okay.
Now we have scripture on his birth.
All right. And then what about on a secular level, Burnell? Would you say that it would be wrong to just get together and exchange gifts or anything like that?
Without putting it as a religious holiday.
Okay, great. That's great. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for calling, Burnell. Where about Louisiana are you tonight?
Phil, Louisiana.
I'm sorry.
Park Church of Christ.
Great. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate you listening to the program.
All right. Appreciate it.
All right. 931-381-4567 or questions at collegeview.com. I believe we have another call. We're going to go through that now. Hello. Welcome to the program.
Hello. This is Jack from Georgia.
Hi, Jack.
I wanted to comment concerning whether as Christians we should celebrate as a secular. We have to look at what does the scripture say, and you know, we to be separate from the world, and we can't be separate if we're doing the very same things they do, because when they look at us, they're not going to see a difference. They're going to say, well, you're just masking. You're the very same person that I am. There's no difference there. That's the concern that we should have. How are we viewed in front of the world?
I think that's a definite concern we must always have, Jack, is we must make sure that we have portrayed the right example to the world. And then your conclusion then, Jack, would be that if we celebrate any type of celebration on Christmas, religious or otherwise, that it would portray a bad influence to our friends and neighbors.
Absolutely. And as far as the giving of gifts, you know, we have 364 days to give gifts. And, you know, I'm not opposed to gift-giving and gift-getting, if you will. But if we're doing it around what the world perceives as Christmas, using Christmas wrapping paper and things of that nature, how is the world going to see that we don't celebrate this like they do?
Okay. Hey, Jack, this is Greg. Good to hear your voice, man. I haven't seen you in a long while.
It's been a while.
Yeah. Good to hear from you. Hey, listen, let me ask you a question. I'm completely sympathetic with your view. I don't want to give anybody the misimpression that I practice a religious observance of Christmas, a non-authorized religious observance of Christmas. But I'm wondering, and I think there may be some room for some judgment here. I'm wondering if someone sees a Christmas tree in my house, do they necessarily think that I'm religiously observing the day? I know atheists who have Christmas trees. I'm just wondering if that is necessarily directly connected with that. Here's a parallel maybe. What if we're having a gospel meeting and it runs through Saturday night and we're having a service here at the church on Saturday night, the lights are on, the parking lot's full of cars, someone drives past and says, you know, those people must be of the Seventh-day Adventist persuasion. Look, they're having a religious meeting on Saturday night. Should we not have a Saturday night church meeting for fear that someone might misinterpret what we're doing and conclude that we're engaged in some sort of erroneous doctrinal practice? You know, I'm just saying, do people necessarily connect the dots like that? My conclusion is I don't think they do typically. You follow what I'm saying, Jack?
Yeah, yes, I do. I was having some difficulty hearing you, so I was able to hear you through the my computer as well. I understand that your concern with that. One thing I will say, most people who will see what's going on, I mean, they would probably see a banner or some sort of marquee saying there's a gospel meeting. What I'm saying is, because Christmas has its roots in paganism and denominationalism, has been mentioned before by many others, for us as Christians to give the gift, wear the buttons with the Christmas tree on it and Santa Claus, where is the distinction?
Jack, I think that you make a good point there, that we have to be careful about our impression that we give to other people. Let me ask you this question, Jack, on maybe a little bit different level. Could a Christian set aside a day other than December 25th on a personal level to remember Christ and be thankful for God sending his son into the world?
Yes, I do agree the person could do that. And I think that's probably within the bounds that if we go to the scriptures, we can find justification for doing that. What I'm concerned about, again, it's for us as children of God to to mix in and put our hands in the same pot as everyone else is, and then pull it out and say, but hey, I'm a Christian. I don't do the other things you do, but this one's okay.
Yeah, I'm very sympathetic with your conclusions there, Jack, and that's very close to my personal practice as well, and not, maybe not identical to my personal practice, but very similar to my personal practice. I guess the thing that I'm just urging is that we've got to allow a little room for judgment in the specific application of these things. Hey, Jack, it's great to hear from you. Glad that you've caught on to the virtual Bible study. We'll be looking forward to hearing from you again.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
Thanks for Jack. Calling, Jack. Good to hear from you tonight. 931-381-4567. The line is wide open now, and we would love to hear from you. 931-381-4567, or send us questions or comments to questions@collegeview.com. We're glad to hear from Jack. Jack has weighed in on the program tonight. Jack thinks that you should avoid it altogether. And we are very appreciative of him sharing that view tonight. And we appreciate his concern, Dad. We appreciate the desire to be separate from the world. That's something that we all have got to be concerned with, and we've all got to be careful about making sure that our actions show that we're separate from the world.
Exactly right. You know, just before we took those two phone calls, we had started a comment on an email from Jason in Oklahoma. I know we're up against a break time, Jacob. Let's take that break and go right back to his email when we get back.
All right, we'll do that. And when we get back, there's going to be a lot of discussion to go, so we hope you'll stay tuned. And we want to hear from you, 931-381-4567, or questions@collegeview.com. Stay with us. There's much to go right after this.
Did you hear what they just said? Call in during this break and let everyone know what you think. The virtual Bible study continues after this announcement.
Me again, Mike Smith at the College of Church of Christ. Let me ask you some more questions. Do you remember when the pulpit was used for the purpose of convicting sinners and teaching them how to be saved? Are you tired of preachers who seem more inclined to entertain their audience than to teach them the truth? Does it seem that sermons you're hearing each week could easily be given in a PTA meeting or a social club? Do you remember when sin was called sin, and at the end of the sermon you knew, by book, chapter, and verse, what the preacher was talking about and why? Well, we're still preaching the old Jerusalem gospel that you read about in your Bible. We invite you to investigate for yourself. Please come and see you this Sunday at the College of Church of Christ at 9:30 a.m. on Hampshire Pike.
Hello, my name's Jeffrey Vernon. I'm 13, and this is the virtual Bible study.
Hello, everyone. I'm Monty, a member of the College View Church of Christ. So you've been hearing all about the College View Church of Christ on the virtual Bible study, and are interested in finding out more about the church, but you live hundreds of miles away from Columbia, Tennessee, and can't come and visit with the congregation to find out more. There's no reason to fear. After all, we live in the 21st century. Here's what you can do to find out more about the College View Church of Christ. First, why don't you check out our website while you're listening to the virtual Bible study? You'll find important information about the church there, including bulletin articles there on various subjects, and can even listen to sermons that have been presented at the College View Church in the past. Secondly, if you have questions about the church or about any Bible teaching, why don't you send an email to us and let us know how we can help. Send your questions to questions@collegeview.com. That address, once again, is questions@collegeview.com. We can even have a personal Bible study with you over email if you desire. And finally, if you would rather talk with someone in person, give us a call at 931-381-4567. That's 931-381-4567. You can call this number anytime. If you don't get an answer, leave a message and we'll call you back as soon as we can. We're glad you're listening to the virtual Bible study and hope to hear from you soon.
My name's Roger Thames, and me and my wife love to listen to the virtual Bible study on Thursday nights.
A streaming Bible study. Why didn't I think of that? Now back to the guys.
And welcome back. We're glad that you're here. We're going to the top of the hour, and we may have to go a little longer if the emails keep coming in. But we want to talk about the celebration of Christmas a little bit longer, because there's a lot of question about whether or not it is something that should be celebrated by Christians. 931-381-4567, or send us your emails to questions@collegeview.com. We want to hear your thoughts on the program tonight. Dad, before the break and before we started taking calls, we were taking a question or a comment from Jason out in Oklahoma. And Jason made an application of Romans chapter 14 that really, I think he may be stretching just a little bit too much to make some of the conclusions that he's making from Romans 14.
Yeah, he was saying that Romans 14 in verses 5 and 6, where it talks about one esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike, let every man be persuaded, fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, and he that giveth, for he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. He said that that was pertaining to Jews who had brought over some of their observance of feast days, like Passover. I'm not sure that that's a justified conclusion from the context, but even if it is, and he's saying that therefore makes those days different than Christmas, because Passover had come from God originally, where Christmas never came from God, but rather from pagan roots. But the fact of the matter is, when Paul wrote this, there was a big problem in the church with Jews binding the observance of Jewish law upon Gentile Christians. And yet, even though that was a problem, Paul said, if they're going to keep it to themselves and observe it to themselves, then they should be allowed to do so, and people should not judge them if they do. Now, I think that would have direct parallel to the idea of Christmas, or maybe not Christmas, as you suggested in your discussion with Jack on the phone a minute ago, Jacob. What if I just wanted to pick June 26th? And every year on June 26th, I'm going to set that day aside, and I'm going to read the gospel accounts of the birth of Jesus. I'm going to spend a lot of time in thought about the great gift of God in sending his son to live here on earth, to experience the human condition, and to die a sacrificial death. And I'm going to pray a lot that day. And I may even sing some songs that relate to the birth of Jesus, some scriptural, spiritual songs that relate to the birth of Jesus. I'm going to do that all on my own. I'm going to do it in the quiet of my room at my house with nobody else around. Could I do that? And I think everybody who's listening would have to agree, yeah, you could do that. How could that possibly be wrong?
But Mr. Glenn, shouldn't we be doing that?
Shouldn't we be doing that every day? I mean, shouldn't we
meditate on? Yeah, I think it's a good point, Josh. I think we should be thankful that Jesus came to live on earth
The Bible says we should meditate on whatever things are good and pure. Yeah.
And we should
Christ's
be thankful.
Death, I believe, was a good thing.
That's right. I think we should be thankful every day that Jesus came to earth. But I'm saying set aside a special day in which I don't do anything else that day other than spend time in meditation, prayer, and so forth. I believe I could do that and not be sinning in the process, and I don't know how anybody could conclude that that would be a sinful thing to do.
But now if you said other people must join me on June 26th to do this, that if you do not join me on June 26th to be thankful, you are unholy and you're unthankful for the birth of Christ, then that would be crossing over and binding that on others.
Then you would not be speaking as the oracles of God. Then you would not be doing things with the authority of the Scripture, Colossians 3:17. We would all stand up in opposition to a person who began to bind that personal observance upon others. And I think we would be in agreement about that. And so my conclusion is that we want to be careful around December 25th because there is a lot of error attached with that day. A lot of man-made religious tradition that is without biblical authority is being enforced on that day. And we certainly want to be careful about that. But when we talk about what a person may privately choose to do, especially if it involves purely secular things, if I want to give gifts on that day, if I want to have my family together for a big meal on that day, those kind of things, I just don't see how we can condemn them from the Scriptures. Now, did Christmas have its roots in paganism? Absolutely, that's without question. But you know, a lot of other things that we just take for granted had their roots in paganism. I think every day of the week, the name of every day of the week, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, you go back and trace down the origins of those words, all of those are rooted in paganism. When you say Sunday or you say Thursday, are you therefore observing some sort of paganism? No. The fact that the religious observance of Christmas is rooted in paganism is without doubt. But if I just observe a national holiday in a secular way, I am not participating in that paganism.
Well, furthermore, you said, Dad, that a person could remember Christ's birth on some day like June 26th, and that would obviously be nothing wrong with taking time to remember facts about Christ's life. But, Dad, we may want to use a little judgment, as Jack has mentioned in his call. We may want to use judgment and may want to defer that to some other time other than December 25th so that no one gets the wrong impression about our activity to think that we believe it is something that must be observed on December 25th.
That's exactly right. And that's why I said to Jack, I was very sympathetic with his conclusion and close to him in practice. I don't want anybody from anything they see me doing to be left with the impression that I believe in the denominational Catholic observance of December 25th that has its roots in paganism and all of that. I want to be careful in my practice so as to not leave anybody with a mistaken impression that I think those things are from God, because I do not think they're from God.
What do you think about these comments? 931-381-4567, or send us your questions or comments to questions@collegeview.com. We want to hear your comments on the program tonight. We're looking forward to hearing from you.
I've got a couple of emails coming in from Roger up in London, Kentucky. Roger, we're glad that you're listening. Let me get to those, Jacob. Here, I can find them. Here we go. Here's the one I want to read. He's got two emails. I want to try to tie them together. He says, today the very popularity of Christmas should cause the Christian to be at least a little bit suspicious of it. Anyone and everyone can celebrate Christmas without question, outright pagans, nominal Christians, and even Buddhists and Hindus. If in reality December 25th was a date set by God to remember the birth of Jesus, you could be sure that the world would have nothing to do with it. After all, God has commanded one day in seven to worship him. Does the world observe it? Of course not. It shuns everything pertaining to true religion. But as expected, the world loves Christmas while all the while hating the Lord Jesus Christ. John 15:18-23-25. Very ironic, he says.
I like those comments. That is a very good observation. We could probably conclude that Christ was born on Sunday other than December 25th because the world wouldn't celebrate it if that was the day. Yeah. Good observations.
And in a separate email, Roger goes on to say another comparison. He says, I observe other days of the year without attaching any special religious significance to them. For example, on our anniversary, we buy gifts for one another. On our birthdays, we do so. On July 4th, we enjoy various activities, but not in a religious way. On the Thanksgiving holiday, we enjoy time together with family and friends, but we do not do so because of the convictions the Bible commands such. I've had employers who gave me the holiday of Christmas and New Year's Eve and New Year's Day off with pay. Did I sin by taking that pay? Was I observing Christmas as the birthday of Christ by doing so? I buy presents on many days, anniversaries, birthdays, etc. Am I condoning the practice of those who might do so because they believe December 25th is the birthday of Christ and the Bible tells me to do so? I believe the answer is obvious to any honest inquirer. If I understand Roger's email there, Jacob, I think he's saying what we're saying, that if we are engaged in some activity that is not religious in nature and certainly not binding religious in nature, then, you know, that we are not therefore condoning the things that we've spoken against in our program tonight.
Thank you for your email, Roger, and thanks for listening up in London, Kentucky. We're glad you're with us tonight. 931-381-4567 or questions@collegeview.com. Quickly, Josh, you got a comment.
Roger, I believe when you was asking, did you sin and taking that day off and getting paid for it, as in like you were celebrating, I don't believe that was a sin. Anytime during the winter, if I got a day off to get paid to go deer hunting, I'd jump on that. Anytime I could get paid to go deer hunting, you know.
Josh would say it might be a sin not to take a day off with
you. Yeah, I believe it would be a sin.
If it had deer hunting involved, I think Josh would be there.
931-381-4567 or questions@collegeview.com.
Jay, we got one more email to grab here before we run out of time. Jeff down in Fayetteville, Tennessee, writes in and says, I just got online, may have missed this point. He says, if we abstain from the secular aspect of the holiday, in other words, I don't do anything at all. I don't put up a Christmas tree. I don't have any lights or anything else. He says, could some be mistaken that we were Jehovah's Witnesses for abstaining? In some of our past programs, we talked about some of the views of the Jehovah's Witnesses. One of the things they won't have anything to do with Christmas, anything at all to do with Christmas. In other words, what if somebody drives by my house and sees that I don't have a Christmas tree or don't have any decorations up of any kind, and then someone says, well, Jehovah's Witness must live in that house. That's not what I was saying, Jeff. That's not my point. I'm just saying sometimes we can't guard from every misconception that somebody might have. And I don't think it's necessary for us to have to do that in order to be faithful to God. We do want to be careful not to give people misimpressions as much as possible, but there's obviously far extremes to that spectrum, and what you're suggesting there, and that's not what we were suggesting. I know you don't believe that either, but that's not the direction I was heading with those comments.
What do you think about what we've said so far in the program tonight? 931-381-4567 or questions at collegeu.com. Want to stay on here? If there are any other comments that we need to cover tonight, we want to take your comments or your questions. 931-381-4567. Looks like we've got some other comments coming in there. 931-381-4567 or questions at collegeu.com. Well, Dad, let's go ahead and wrap up the program then, I guess, and make some conclusions about what we've discussed on the program tonight. We said very clearly the Bible does not mention any specific date for when Christ was born. Indications are it was not on December 25th. Therefore, when we would celebrate the birthday of Christ as being December 25th, it would be without founding in the New Testament. Furthermore, we've said the Bible has no command that the birth of Christ must be celebrated. Therefore, to bind it as an organized religious day of celebration or significance is not founded in the Scriptures and would be binding a tradition of men as a doctrine, and that must be avoided.
But we'd also, furthermore, if it was a thing to be done religiously, how would we do it with the authority of God? God didn't tell us how, when, or in what method to do it. So, in other words, the birthday of Jesus cannot be observed religiously in any legislated way because God didn't legislate it. In other words, we can't do it and say, here's how you do it, this is when to do it and how to do it, and here's the book, chapter, and verse that tells you about that, because it's just not there.
That's right. But now, the conclusions that we have drawn and are slightly different than some of our listeners is that on a personal level, a person could set aside a day to be thankful for the birth of Christ, and they could do that under the liberty that is afforded in Romans chapter 14. They could esteem that day to themselves. And there's nothing wrong with being thankful for Christ's birth and maybe taking a little extra time on a day to do that. But we've got to be careful that we don't bind that day on others, nor do we want to give the impression to others that we believe that it is something that should be organized and celebrated in an organized way.
And we've also said that some of the secular aspects of the December 25th holiday, taking the day off with pay, getting together for a big meal, even exchanging gifts, our conclusion, again, it differs some from some who've participated, and we're glad for all that participation. Our conclusion is that certain non-religious aspects of the secular holiday do not, in my mind, do not necessarily imply that I am condoning the sinful parts of that observance by others.
But a caveat to that is that we've got to be careful that we don't give the impression that we go along with the organized celebration of that day as something that should be celebrated. We don't want to give that impression to others, and so we've got to use some judgment to make sure that our actions are carefully chosen so that we don't give the wrong impression.
I think that's a key word there, Jacob. We've got to use some judgment, some good, very carefully applied judgment in what we're going to do. And I believe then, since it is, some of those things are judgment, we can leave room for others whose judgment may slightly vary from ours. I think that's the nature of judgment.
Well, we appreciate the comments tonight. Appreciate you for listening to the program, and we appreciate your comments. We're glad to hear from you. If you've got some questions about the things we said on the program tonight, maybe you disagree with us, we'd love to study this with you further. Why not send us an email to questions@collegeview.com, or you can call us anytime during the week at 931-381-4567. We'd love to hear from you. Josh, thanks for taking time to be a part of the program tonight.
I appreciate the opportunity once again.
Dad, enjoyed the discussion tonight.
Thanks. I want to read one. I just got an email. Some of them are coming in late on us, Jacob. Hang on just a minute before you sign off. Jason back in Oklahoma says, let me clarify. We were just talking about his email. I fully believe that a person can celebrate a secular holiday. I just disagree with celebrating a Christian holy day. There never were any Christian holy days. If someone wants to celebrate Christmas as a national holiday or a time of giving gifts, nothing could be wrong with that, in my opinion. So I think I'm glad Jason clarified that to us. And one more email from Roger. We were reading a couple. Well, that one's kind of long. Maybe we'll hold that for another discussion. We read a couple emails from Roger earlier, and he's gotten back to us, but it looks a little long, so we're about out of time.
We're about out of time. Roger, we do appreciate that. We will review that, and we may have some comments that we can exchange personally on a private level. We appreciate you listening to the program tonight, and we hope that you benefited from considering these things with us on the program. Again, if you have any questions or maybe you disagree with us, send us an email to questions@collegeview.com or call us at 931-381-4567. We'd love to have a discussion with you. We look forward to talking with you next week on the program, and in the meantime, we encourage you to put God first in your life, study His inspired word, the Bible, and live by it every day. You'll never regret it.
Thanks for listening to the Virtual Bible Study, brought to you by the College View Church of Christ. The College View Church of Christ meets at 1618 Hampshire Pike in Columbia, Tennessee. If you are in the Columbia, Tennessee area, we encourage you to worship with the College View Church of Christ on Sunday mornings at 9:30 and on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. The College View Church of Christ also welcomes you to attend their Wednesday night Bible studies at 7 o'clock. If you have any questions about something that was said on tonight's broadcast or would like more information about the College View Church of Christ, please call 931-381-4567. That number again, 931-381-4567. Or for more information on the internet, visit collegeview.com. Be sure to tune into the Virtual Bible Study this time next Thursday for another informative study of God's Word.